One of the first things I've got to ask you is, I've been watching the, being in Austin, you're watching the new adaptation of From Dusk Till Dawn, and I have to ask, because it's kind of a weird thing, what's it like being played by, having a part you created being played by a Busey?
Well, I think it's, I like it because it, I still shine, you know what I mean? Like, I saw that episode, and, you know, when I did it, my gun comes up, and I kill Danny Trejo with it, you know? When he does it, he's trying to pick on this little high school underage girl, you know, so as a lecher. So I think I still shine, but I love the series. I didn't want to like it, but I started watching it, and it was entrancing. I just love it. I love the job that DJ Cotrena is doing, and the guy that's playing the Quentin Tarantino part, we were in Perks of a Wallflower together, so I knew him. So I'm digging it. I'm really digging it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, the original From Dusk is kind of a landmark film in a lot of ways. It's, it's really the first one that puts Robert really heavily on the map, I think, for a lot of people, because it's kind of that weird mixed thing. You know, it's Quentin's when his real height. I was talking about, you know, you coming on board with that, and it's one of the films where I think where people really start to go, oh, hang on, Tom Savini's not just an effects guy, he's also, you know,
oh, yeah,
he can act.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a trained actor. I have, I went to Carnegie Mellon University, which is the theater school in the country. But also before that, I did 8 years of, after coming back from Vietnam, I got involved with the theater in North Carolina, where I was stationed. I did 8 years of repertory theater. So I have quite the acting, you know, background. It's always surprising. Like in Perks of a Wallflower, people were like, wow, what the hell is he doing in this movie? There's no zombies, there's no guns, you know. But you're right, that was the first time people saw me as something other than the effects guy.
So a lot of people probably think you're an effects guy who became an actor. You're in fact an actor who became an effects guy. So how did you get into effects?
I started that when I was 11 years old. I saw the movie Man of a Thousand Faces. And before that, I thought the monsters were real, you know. I mean, as a kid, you see a movie through the eyes of a child. I wish I could still do that. But that movie showed me that somebody creates the monsters, so I wanted to be one of the guys that creates the monsters. But I always tried to play a part, in, especially with Romero, the movies that I did effects in, I would try to play a part. Because I was an actor, you know, I think when I was 8 years old, I did a commercial and did, you know, stuff in grade school as an actor. Played a woman once, you know. So that was first. Makeup spawned that interest. But I've always felt that the more you do, the more you get to do. Especially if you want to be involved in movies, the more things you can use to get in the door. Because the important thing is getting in the door, you know. But even, you know, I put the makeup kit away for a long time. And, you know, as an actor, and it kept calling me, you know. Yeah. And then that became what I had a career first, you know, with makeup effects. And that came out of magic. I know I was very fond of magic. I'm a card-carrying member of the Magic Castle. If you've seen my effects, there's a certain amount of magic involved.
Yeah.
Same thing that a magician does. He makes you look here, and he's pulling flowers out of it. He's misdirected you. Or he has mechanical devices you're not aware of. So it's the same thing. That's why my books are called Grand Illusions. I think of them as magic tricks. Yeah. So, so to answer your question, I just saw that movie, and that was it. I started buying makeup.
Yeah. And, a lot of the films that you've done are obviously, you know, kind of iconic on the practical effects side. But one of the ones that I was recently reminded of was The Burning got a Blu-ray release last year, and there's an amazing amount of behind-the-scenes stuff on that. I was like,
I have to watch that. I think I'm part of it, aren't I?
Yeah.
Don't I do a commentary or something?
I think you...
At least an interview?
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because it's one of those films that I think fell off the radar. So when you're doing a film, like, how clear are you that, like, okay, this one's going to work and this one's going to... It's not necessarily going to hit.
Well, I think that was because of Friday the 13th, but we'll get to that.
So the Burning
was written, according to Harvey Weinstein, was written before Friday the 13th. It's just that Friday the 13th got made first. People thought The Burning was a ripoff. You know, a bunch of teenagers in the woods getting killed by a maniac. You know. And that was Miramax's first film. So why did it fall off the radar? I mean, I don't know. Here it's not falling off the radar. Everybody knows about The Burning. The fans know about The Burning. There's a Cropsey life-size a statue over there. So but he's not as popular as Jason, of course. And I created Jason as well. You know. But he's a good villain.
Although the most horrific thing about that film, I think, is the clear shot of Fisher Stevens' taint at one point.
Fisher Stevens' what?
Taint.
Taint.
The gap between the rectum and the ball sack. And he bends over at one point naked, and
really?
It's really clear. And it's like, you went on to be an Oscar-nominated documentary producer.
When did that happen?
It's in one of the early. Yeah, it's early in one of the when it really feels like it's actually just a camp comedy before it gets really gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like there's that long stretch. It's a very odd film at many levels.
Wow, I got to rewatch that, especially for the interview.
So, what are you up to at the moment?
I just did a Disney. Well, I'm not supposed to. Nobody's supposed to know about that. Yeah, if you're editing. Yeah.
Ixnay on the Ixnay.
And I'm doing my biography, a big coffee table picture book that's coming out this Halloween. And according to Robert Rodriguez, I'm going to be in the series next season.
All right.
Of Dusk and Dawn. What else? Some directing offers. You know, it's lots of conversations, but no contracts.
That's the nature of the business.
That's the way it goes. So
I mean, one thing that I was wondering, you talk about doing coffee table book. You know, were you always aware of, you know, you needed to keep kind of some kind of archive? Because not everybody took the kind of level of behind-the-scenes shots that they do now. It's like, so with the early stuff in particular, because I think a lot of people were also very influenced by it. Yeah, you know, was there a point where you went, I really need to start recording what I'm doing so that people go, oh,
well,
that's how he's doing it, and they can learn from it?
Well, we weren't, that's especially true here. When somebody asks me, do you have any shots from Dawn of the Dead? We don't. We were so too busy making the movie and not taking pictures, you know. And I think I decided to start taking pictures just from my own, not archives, but my own. These are my children. These are my artistic creations, you know. They're gone once the makeup comes off, so you need to document that somehow. And that's why I first started doing it. But now you do it because of this.
The people really want to know, and it's a revenue stream as well. Never
exactly.
Complain about that.
Exactly. I mean, how hard is it to sit here and people throw money at you all day, you know?
It's like the opposite of work, being a journalist. People go, we have to pay for your stuff these days?
Well, we were just talking about how, you know, let's say you go to a restaurant and you order something. You know, a waitress has to come over and take your order, and she has to go and tell the cook, you know, to prepare this order. And when it's done, he has to call her back, and then she gets it, and she brings it to your table. I mean, it's a lot of walking and action and, you know, movement going on. And maybe your meal costs, you know, $20.
Yeah.
All we do is go.
That's a good exchange rate.
You know, all we do is do that, $20.